show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, I heard this place has a Santa, and I got a few things I gotta ask him.
Over there, in the media corner.
Not sitting on his lap.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all the feedback from the geeks. This is our network show, as we call it, for December 6, 2010. This is the companion podcast. This is the parentheses part. This is the companion podcast of Technorama with all your email, voicemail, and social network comments. I am Chuck Tomasi, and joining me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm a little flustered because I'm actually undoing your show notes. I just realized why you had stuff marked in bold.
Those are the stories we're talking about, dude. Flip over to the network show notes, please.
Undo.
Yeah, undo. First of all, he's on the wrong show notes. Second of all, he's making a mess of things. Don't be touching. If it weren't bold, I wouldn't be able to remember.
Yeah.
Like you said, this is the companion podcast to Technorama. So if this doesn't make any sense, you might want to go back one show or so in your RSS feed or the website, whatever, and listen, because people are going to be making comments and giving us feedback. This is a weekly conversation where we say something and it takes a week to get the comments back. So if this is your first time listening to Technorama, that's cool and everything, but you might be a little confused. If you're coming back to us, thank you very much. We appreciate you joining us, and we've got some voicemail. You can call the voicemail listener line at 206-222-CHAT. Actually, let's do it this way.
Call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT.
Or you can send us an email.
Send your comments to technorama@chuckchat.com.
Like some of these people did. First one up is from Bruce Barr, one of our longtime listeners. Hey, Bruce. What's up?
Hey, Bruce.
Hey, guys. It's Bruce. Hadn't called in for a while, which is probably why you haven't had a message show back from the users, a feedback show, but been busy at work. I was getting waxing nostalgic with some of the things you talked about in this week's show, though, and rest assured I have been listening to the other shows. The history of the Internet was kind of interesting for me because I was working for a company, got bought out by a California company, and amongst the things we got that were benefits of that were access to the Internet before the average person was really accessing the Internet and got totally hooked on that. So when I came to the company that I was in now, I had to have my Internet connection, had a bunch of Macintoshes at home back at that time because my wife is a teacher, all that educational kinds of stuff. This is pre-OS 10, right? This is back in OS 6, I think, was probably maybe the first one, OS 7, 8, and 9, and even pre-Power PCs. And I was doing my own work at, you know, getting these things connected because, of course, nobody had any idea of how to deal with a Macintosh to get your modem to log into sessions. I must have gone through a different ISP at least one every 6 months for about 2 or 3 years there. I would keep on, you know, I do it and then they go out of business. Or I get on to one and then they get bought out by somebody else and change it.
Bros. Going through a tunnel.
Every time I work with anybody local here, and they found, and even one person that wasn't just a local ISP, it was actually somebody that was more national. But when they found out that I just asked them for the connection stuff, and I do my own stuff in the Mac for the for getting the modem to work right. And
oh wait, I got to pause right there. Do you remember doing that?
What's that?
When you'd get instructions and they didn't even have good instructions, like just give me the raw details.
Yeah.
Because the first ISPs really didn't know too much about what they were doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, the first time I actually got on the internet one of my friends, he actually worked in an ISP, and I didn't know that at first because I met him through a new roommate, you know, and said, oh, yeah, my brother-in-law can help you out. So he actually came over and he says, oh, let me do this. And he's, you know, set everything up. So I was like, okay, I have to go back and look. But yeah, I've had some ISPs that were like,
yeah. Before the days where they'd like send you a DHCP server, you go, what is your DHCP conf say? Or what is your if config? You know, tell me these actual numbers and I'll put them where they belong because I'm using NetBSD and you're not.
Well, there was, we've done this before. You know, people go, hey, I've got a Mac. How to get online? I'm like, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't 15 years it. Ago, that was a really hard question to answer. How do you get on the internet? You got to know somebody who knows somebody. Or, here's an AOL CD.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Have fun. Well, wait a minute. I was my ISP. I couldn't do that.
When I found out that I was getting a Macintosh to log into their system, I actually had people ask me, could I have people call you when they need to hook a Mac into the system?
Oh.
I really don't know how to help them, and you seem to know what you're doing. I actually traded a guy a month of service for providing help desk support for his Macintosh customer. So, anyway, that and floppy disk. The number of floppy disks, I think it's hard for us to even remember what it was like in terms of floppy disks and software distribution and the sheer number of disks.
I remember.
At one point, the smart software system that was one of the systems that was MS-DOS-based pre-Windows, we had to provide all the drivers for that. And towards the end of that...
He got cut off. He ran out of time.
Oh, too bad.
Yeah, but he calls back. But we were talking about number of floppy disks. Like it would take, oh, was it some absurd amount, like 300 floppies to install Photoshop or something silly?
Yeah, yeah.
It was just ridiculous these days. You wouldn't do that, but it was a great metric to say, hey, remember the days when, you know, Word Perfect used to take 11 or Windows 95. What was it, 17 floppies when it first came out?
Something like that.
They had a floppy distribution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a couple of them were to get your printer drivers and whatnot.
So, yeah.
I had sent Bruce an email and said, hey, Bruce, your message got cut off. So he called back and left this.
Okay, it's Bruce again. The K7 cut me off. Floppy disk. Okay, that company I worked for that got bought out had a product called Smart Software, which was all based on and distributed with floppy disk. And I think we've kind of forgotten about how many that would take. By the time we had to do all the drivers, because it wasn't based on Windows, it ran in DOS, right? This was still the 80s.
Did you say NOOS?
The product actually, you know, had to have all these printer drivers and this driver and that driver and the other driver. And pretty soon, it was like 30-some-odd disks, right, that made up the product, which meant that you had to have way less than a 1% failure rate on your floppy duplication. Or you'd have a bad set. Anyway, one of my first jobs when I came to the company I work for now was to install the software on the desktop. This was OS2 on the desktop, and you had to install OS2 and the communication software for the networking. You talk about not having the protocol built in, check. Nope, it didn't, and you had to install that. SNA-related kinds of stuff, and then you had to install this and that and the other thing. And pretty soon I had a box of 3.5-inch floppies sitting on my desk that was literally a foot and a half long, stacked, you know. I mean, you know, standing up in that box, a foot and a half of disks. You know, the first 5 disks do this, and the second 6 disks do that, and the third 7 disks do this other thing. And I was the first person who actually sat down and documented the entire process of installing everything at the desktop level.
Oy.
With those floppy disks. Of course, I probably, if I looked around in my pile of CARP, it's an acronym, upstairs, I probably still have a few of the floppy disks that AOL was nice enough to send to me. Because remember when AOL used to mail you a floppy disk back in the 90s, one or two a week, and you could do all your backups just on the AOL floppy disks.
Version 1.3.
Sending you the polycarbonate disks. And now, We don't even think about buying music on discs anymore. It's all downloads and all that kind of stuff.
Kids
oh, and Jack
can
give me a pretty big gift card if she wants the entire Beatles collection. Talk to y'all later. Not that Donna does not deserve the entire Beatles collection downloaded from iTunes, okay? I want to go on record on that right now.
That sounded like
love
a...
you guys. Bye.
Thanks, Bruce. That sounded like an offer, like he was going to buy it for her.
Yeah, why not?
I'll get you the Beatles collection on floppy disk.
How many floppies will that take?
And good luck finding a machine with a floppy drive.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got one at work. Surprisingly, it came with it.
Kind of makes you wish you had a cartridge drive or some other mass storage that was a little bigger than a floppy drive.
Zip.
Interestingly enough, you should say that. That's kind of what T. Morris got back to us on.
Oh, okay.
If I can click it.
Hey, guys. It's T. Morris calling. I'm listening to Chuck Chat 287, or sorry, Technorama show 287, and you guys got me waxing nostalgic. You were talking about floppy drives.
Wait, Bruce said the exact same thing.
Do you guys remember...
That's two people that called. They said waxing nostalgic.
Maybe we should change the name of the podcast.
That's not something you say in everyday conversation. At least I don't. Maybe you know, because he's a writer. But let me get this right. When the moon is waxing, it's getting larger and larger, right? And when it's waning, it's getting lower and lower. Right? When you're putting wax on your car, you're making it shiny. Waxing nostalgic. Is that?
Well, usually, I think that just means, you know, thinking, well, you know, like waxing philosophically.
Where did that phrase come from?
I don't know.
Does it mean you're adding philosophically to your...
It's, Chuck, it's what all the kids are saying nowadays.
Ah, you kids and your floppy disks.
Oh, you're waxing what?
All right, let's find out what T really has to say.
The last of the great floppy movement. Zip drives. Do you remember zip drives and jazz drives from iOmega?
Yes, I
do. I was so hardcore about the zip drives. I actually had an internal zip drive for my Apple. Oh man, what model was it? It was. I want to say it was. It was one of the big. No. It was a. It was the blue one. It was the. It was the blue like 3G, but it wasn't 3G. You know what I'm talking about. You would know.
Yeah, right.
You guys would know. But it was still one of the Power Max, and it was blue. And I had an internal zip drive for that thing. And,
really?
And I miss zip drives. I still have zip drives, and I still have my iOmega zip drive. I don't know if they still work or not. But I just thought I'd let you guys know that yes, I have a stack of zip drives, and wondered if you guys ever used those, what you thought of them, that sort of thing. I remember that the iOmega zip drives were extremely reliable, but the jazz drives, not so much. So, discuss. Talk amongst yourselves. I'm going to listen to another Techorama. Talk to you later. Bye, guys.
I have one of those G3.
I mean, he's
going to
listen to... What'd he say?
Yeah. I have one of those G3 iMacs, or at least I did. Do I still have that? And I have a CD-ROM in it, but I didn't know you could put an internal, maybe it was an external drive. Sound like he had an internal. Wow.
Well, I've had an internal zip before, but the last one I had was the purple external drive.
Yeah.
And it worked great, but drive finally failed, but I had some disks that had some sensitive information on them.
What were those? So, 20 meg? Zip drives were started at 20 meg? And the jazz was supposed to be something like 500 or 250 or something?
No, the zips were like 100 meg.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of the Bernoulli box.
Oh my God, now you're going back.
I love how they used to name things after scientists so it would sound more impressive. Bernoulli.
Yeah, the Einstein drive.
This is, I put mine in a Faraday cage. Does that help?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I didn't have a whole lot of zip or jazz media, but I did have a drive at one point. if I remember right, didn't those hook up to the standard IDE controller? Or was that one of those crazy things that required its own card?
Internal ones, they were IDE, if I'm not mistaken. But you could get one that hooked up to like this. Was it the one of the ports? It was like maybe the one I had was USB or something like that.
Whoa. Oh, that must have been early USB.
Mm-hmm.
USB, yeah, with the A cable.
And if I'm not mistaken, oh, was it a parallel port? Excuse me. But I remember that when they first came out, they weren't 20 meg; they were like 100 meg, and that was
a lot.
But then they moved up and they did like 250s and was it seven? I want to say 750 or something like that.
Wow, that's a lot.
I never
man.
Saw those.
You'll never by fill time, up 100.
You know, By that time, you know, CD drives were rampant, so.
Oh, yeah, that's what killed them off.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you could get CD writers, like,
yeah, see,
who needs
Mad
this
Marv's in the chat room. He says the 1 gig jazz drives, and he was the one that mentioned the parallel port. It was like a faux SCSI type thing.
I remember those. And some of the early tape drives that you had to hook up to the parallel port. I'm like, Or oh. get your own adapter card.
You know, I'm getting tired just thinking of tape drives. I hate tape drives.
They were good for backups. They weren't very much fun for anything else.
No. I mean, I'm thinking like my cassette days back at the Commodore.
Oh, no.
I know.
I'm talking
it's different, but still, it's like dealing with a tape. It's like one direction, and you got to wait.
And they seem to go backwards more than they went forwards.
Yes. And There's no words to describe the feeling you get when your program tape, you know, chews itself on the Commodore tape.
Implodes.
No! Yeah. Gotta save my basic ROM program.
Has this ever happened to you? If so,
call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT.
We want to hear you wax phonetically. No, wax poetic.
I'm sure any of those issues have only happened to me, nobody else.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
Let us know. We want to hear. We have a listener line, as we said, 206-222-CHAT, 206-222-2428, or send us an email, technorama@chuckchat.com. We want to hear, because we know a lot of you out there used older technology and probably consider themselves older technology.
I'm older technology.
And we'll put it in the next listener feedback show because I think we struck a nerve again with some of this older tapes and floppies and jazz drives. What else was out there? I know we're missing some stuff. There's a lot of cool stuff. You know what? I was just thinking about this today. Go back to like the Leo Laporte 2002 tech guide. Remember when he was on Tech TV? Buy my book.
Yeah. You know what? I was just, as a matter of fact, I was just watching a clip from them. One of my friends was asking about how can I recover a drive. You know, he had some data on there he wasn't sure we could get a hold of. And I said, I started thinking about SpinRite. Well, I went to the SpinRite.
Oh,
site,
my goodness. Yeah.
And there was a video with him on Tech TV with Leo Laporte, probably like from, you know, like early tech or the screensavers. And I'm like, oh my gosh. it was kind of funny to watch.
You know, that would be good. We should resurrect some of those clips. There's probably licensing around that and whatnot. But I was thinking if you pulled up, I still have a few old magazines and whatnot, and they've got, you know, the really fat laptops from like 1994.
Mm-hmm.
Get your 486 laptop now. Things about three times thicker than my PowerBook.
Yeah, right.
Or MacBook Pro. There I go. Now I slipped into old school.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like, what was it, our Christmas episode? And I was trying to say 20, oh, what was it, 20 meg? And I said 20 gig.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. I know it was. It was our 1986 episode, or the 87 episode we did.
Wow. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, see, I was looking forward in technology.
Sure, because everybody today says I have a 20 terabyte drive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, I saw 1.5 terabyte drives at Walmart for $70.
Isn't that crazy?
It's way crazy.
I got this little one right here for like $60-$70. 1 terabyte USB. That's nuts. It's unheard of. Who could ever use that much storage?
It's crazy talk.
All right, that takes us to the end of the Listener Feedback Show. We appreciate you giving us your support. Also want to thank the following people. Let's get some music going here. Come on. There we go. Thanks to the following people for keeping Technorama going. It's their time and talent that keep us in business when we're not in business. Because it's none of our business. Mad Marv, who provides great blog content. If you're not going to the website or subscribing to the RSS feed, you should. It's a good time. Yeah. It's easier. It's much easier. And there's a whole bunch of stuff you're going to be missing. You know what? Follow us on our Google Reader feeds, too, because we're always sharing stuff and starring stuff and putting things in there that just don't make it the regular show, and it's a whole lot of fun. It's kind of like getting the show every day. We find enough content, but we just can't get it all here. Special thanks to Ustream and ThinStack for their help with the chat room and the live video. This show is a member of Friends in Tech, friend of Friends in Tech, and Farpoint Media at farpointmedia.com. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama and a binary high five.
101, yay!
Yucks! I picked the wrong day to wear my new Crocs.